Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, asks us a question in the Quran. Allah asks, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أفمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه. And this is an open-ended question. Allah is asking, so is the one whose chest has been expanded to accept Islam, to embrace Islam, it has been expanded for Islam, and he is upon the light from his Lord, from his Master, is this person like the one who is not? And then Allah Ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Then woe to those, destruction for those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. Why? It is them. Those are the ones who are in clear error. Today, inshallah ta'ala, what I'd like to talk about is being harsh-hearted. Allah ta'ala warns us of having a hard and harsh heart. So what are some of the symptoms? How can we know if we are suffering from this sickness of the heart? How can we look into ourselves? What are the symptoms of this individual? I'd like to talk about four main qualities that we need to really focus in on, inshallah ta'ala. There are many more, I'm sure. But I'd like to focus on four main qualities. What are they? Number one is, when you have a harsh heart, the individual is incapable of handling emotions. Because their heart is just too harsh, they can't handle emotional situations. They are, first and foremost, unable to identify, specify, and describe their own emotional state. And as such, when nobody understands the way they're feeling, what do? They blame others. They get upset. And they say, you just don't understand me. And perhaps it is the case that the person is not making their effort to understand, but it's also possibly the case that you're not being clear because you don't know how to look internally and discover exactly what the problem is. And as a result of this, the individual who has a harsh heart, because they feel so misunderstood and because they are so emotionally confused, what happens? They often have emotional outbursts. They explode and have all sorts of emotional outbursts. They're unable to handle emotionally charged situations. When it comes to a conversation about, I don't know, some show or movie or sports or this or that or the other, maybe they can handle that conversation. The moment something serious comes up, the moment something important comes up, what happens? They just can't handle those conversations. They have to walk away. Why? What's wrong with talking about something real, something serious, something important? They can't handle it. They are going to explode or it's just not going to work. And oftentimes, because they know they can't handle their emotions, what happens? They realize that they have to quell themselves or cope with this emotional state by some sort of destructive behavior. The most extremes would be having some sort of emotional crisis, and so drinking alcohol, doing drugs, whatever the case is. Less intense situations would be something like putting your brain asleep by watching some show, some movie, listening to music, doing whatever you need to do to shut your brain off. Why? Because you can't handle the way you're feeling, you don't understand the way you're feeling, you can't deal with the individual or deal with the situation, and therefore you essentially put yourself to sleep by shifting the attention to something that will simply make you relaxed. So that's the first quality. The first quality is what? The inability to handle their emotions. What's the second quality? The second quality is how the hard-hearted person makes other people feel. How does this person make others feel? The people that are around them, friends and family and so forth. They make their friends and family feel alone. Even though I'm sitting with you and I'm in your company, I don't feel like I'm really with you. You're here, but you're not here, in a way. They can't relate to somebody's pain. They can't relate to their problems. They are, in a word, tone deaf. The type of person who just simply doesn't understand. They perhaps sometimes offer words of sympathy if you're going through something difficult, but their words of sympathy seem almost robotic, insincere, as if it's been rehearsed or something that they've heard somewhere else. It's not coming from deep within. It's as if you're dealing with their representative, not a real individual. Nobody knows exactly what they feel, and this is, of course, going back to the first point, because they don't know how to express it properly or even interpret their own feelings properly. And as a result of this, the people around them always need to tiptoe. They always need to be careful. I don't know what I'm going to say that's going to set this person off. I don't know, I might say the wrong thing and the person will explode. So they always need to be very careful with everything they say. They don't know what word might trigger them and make them get very upset. This is the harsh-hearted person that must be tiptoed around by everybody else. And as a result of this, they oftentimes find themselves in arguments. They argue with lots of people. And if you talk to them about, you know, argumentation, say, oh yeah, I got into a fight with this person, I got into a fight with that person, oh yeah, one time I was arguing with this person. And at some point, you really have to ask yourself, if you're at war with the whole world, maybe it's not the world's fault. Maybe it's you. If you are constantly in battle, I mean, it's natural that, you know, you have disagreements here and there. But if you are constantly in some sort of fight with other people, it's not the whole world. You have to check yourself. The problem is with you. So yes, number one is the inability to handle emotions. Number two is the harsh-hearted person, how they make other people feel, alone and isolated, and as if nobody ever has to be very careful around them. The third quality is what? When you confront them with this issue, when you confront them and try to talk to them and say, listen, you have this harshness about you, you need to improve, they will not take responsibility. They don't want to accept the blame or the responsibility. In fact, instead, they always put off the blame and point to other people. And so you'll often hear them say, oh, you don't understand me, or you're too sensitive, or you are interpreting it wrong. Oh, the reason why you're saying this is because you're always out to get me, and you always are my enemy, and you always take other people's side, and so on and so on and so forth. They always find a reason to say that every single person that sees the same thing, they're all seeing it wrong. And it really, it gets to a point where really the whole world is conspiring against you, or maybe it's possible that everybody's seeing the same thing because that's exactly what it is. As the expression goes, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck, right? So if it has all the qualities, it is what it is. And finally, even if they've offended this person and that person, this person and that person, one of the easiest ways to take refuge is what? To say that downplay people's emotions. You downplay their emotions. Say, well, this doesn't really matter, and that's not so important, and that's okay. And the fourth and final quality of the person who is hard-hearted is the negative effects, the long-term negative effects that this behavior has on the individual. That number one, they very quickly jump to conclusions. That instead of being the type of person that analyzes a situation and is pensive, and you know, thinks about the problem, they jump to conclusions and are quick to blame. Number two, they hold grudges for long periods of time. And as a result of this, holding grudges, they are unable to maintain long-term, meaningful relationships. And this is a clear red sign. So I hope everybody pays close attention to this. If you have had friends in your life from high school, but you aren't in contact with any of them anymore, or during your university, college days, but you've cut them all off, and you had friends from your first job, or your second job, or your third job, or when you lived in this city, or in that city, or in this country, or in that country, and consistently throughout your life, you've been cutting and cutting and cutting relationships with all those people, and you are unable to maintain long-term relationships, then maybe you have a problem. It's not healthy to have a fight with this family member and this friend, and I cut them off, and they said something, and they did something, and everybody I have a problem with, and therefore I feel completely alone. This is a problem. And perhaps the most obvious and the most detrimental problem, long-term negative effect, is that they simply cannot accept the truth. That ultimately, at the end of the day, this individual, when they get confronted with something that is true, when they get confronted with something that does not fit their own personal paradigm, when they get confronted with something that might force them to have a little bit of humility and accept that maybe their previous notions were incorrect and they have to adjust their ideas, they reject it and they fight against it as hard as possible. And so these are some of the symptoms. And inshallah ta'ala, in the second khutbah, we'll talk about how Allah Ta'ala talks about these issues and some of the cures, bi-idhnillahi Ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala talks to us about those who have hard hearts in Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. That then your hearts became hardened after that, being like stones or even harder. And then subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala describes three different states of this harsh heart. And this ayah is so beautiful because it gives us hope. I don't want us to think that if you have this quality or you know somebody who has this quality, that therefore they are doomed. There's no hope for that individual. Rather, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes people whose hearts are like rocks or even harder than that, and yet there's still hope for them. Why? Because وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ SubhanAllah. Because there are some type of hearts that even though they're so hard, springs can and rivers can gush forth from them. What is this a reference to? These three different layers, these three different descriptions that Allah Ta'ala describes, you can correlate them to Ihsan, Iman, and Islam in the famous hadith of Jibreel, the SubhanAllah, the three different levels of somebody's faith. Ihsan is excellence. And this is like a person who, they had a harsh heart, but SubhanAllah, the truth came to them. This deen came to them. Iman struck them in such a way where it just started to flow. That harsh heart got cracked. That alhamdulillah, this water represents what? It means the flowing of Iman. And it's coming directly from the heart itself. Because something happened, this person, they got affected in such a way that this Quran, this wahi, this revelation, this truth, it hit them in such a way that subhanAllah, this harsh heart, it finally cracked and subhanAllah, the water came flowing. So yes, there is hope. Yes, there is hope for those who have this problem. And subhanAllah, sometimes you can be struck in such a way. Sometimes you'll find a person who's so harsh, living the worst lifestyle, criminal behavior, all sorts of, involved in every bad thing. And yet subhanAllah, when the deen comes to them, and when they finally wake up, and when they finally realize the truth, they become not just strong in their iman, but they become the best of the believers. And subhanAllah, the best example of this is the sahaba themselves. The sahaba were some of the worst of the worst. And yet when this iman came into their hearts, they were pushing it, and they were embracing it, and living by it the absolute most. What is the second quality? وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ. That, and some rocks are such that they have to be split open, and then water comes out. So it's not that the water is coming from itself, but rather that it needs to be hit first. And this is unfortunately like many of us, that something has to happen in our life, whether it be a death in the family, whether it be a sickness, whether it be losing a job, whether it be some sort of trauma. I don't know, a car accident makes you realize that you're vulnerable, makes you realize that life is short. Something happens to you that cracks you, and that makes you wake up, and makes you realize I need to stop this petulant, childish, arrogant attitude. I need to grow up a little bit, take some responsibility, soften up a little bit, and embrace the truth. And that's when the water comes out. And the third person is who? وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And the third person is the one who, notice that in this portion, Allah Ta'ala does not even mention water at all. This one just mentions what? Fear of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says what? And there are some of them who they fall down from the fear of Allah. No, it's not that they are passionate with their iman, but rather they realize that there's a problem. They realize they need to improve. And even though they might not necessarily feel the sweetness of iman, they still continuously pray. They keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. They keep on doing their 5 daily salawat until when? Until finally that iman comes to their heart. And sometimes people come to me and say, you know, I'm not feeling my salah. I don't feel the iman. My answer to them is keep going. Keep trying. This is not something that's going to come like a switch. No, rather you're a human being and you need to work on it. You need to keep on submitting yourself to Allah Ta'ala, and slowly but surely you'll feel the iman grow and increase. We are not computers that you can just press a button and everything changes. No, rather we are organic creatures. And just like everything else, it takes time to grow. Everything else in nature takes time to bud and really come to fruition. And so in this third one, subhanAllah, this is the encouragement. So if you yourself feel that I am a harsh-hearted person, and I know that this is a problem, or I know somebody who is harsh-hearted, maybe it's time to encourage them to pray their salawat more regularly. Maybe it's time to encourage them to come to the masjid. Maybe it's time you wake them up for salat al-fajr. And if they say, well, I still don't feel the sweetness of iman, what do you tell them? It doesn't matter. It will come. Just keep on trying and keep on pushing and keep on improving yourself. And inshallah ta'ala, bi-idhnillah, slowly but surely, it will come into your heart. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he has another interesting perspective when it comes to people that are harsh-hearted. He says, إِنَّ قَصْوَةَ الْقَلْبِ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْيَاءِ إِذَا جَاوَزَتْ قَدْرَ الْحَاجَةِ. That harsh, being harsh-hearted comes from four things when they are surpassed more than their need. What are they? الْأَكْلُ وَالنَّوْمُ وَالْكَلَامُ وَالْمُخَالَطَةُ. They are eating more than you need to, sleeping more than you need to, speaking more than you need to, and socializing more than you need to. Overeating is a person who never feels hungry because they're always stuffing themselves. They are abd al-shahwat. They are the slave of their desires, always filling themselves up as much as possible, putting on weight, feeling sluggish, and ultimately that sluggish behavior makes you feel like you have a harsh heart. Staying up late and sleeping in late, these are also too much sleep. These are problems that also harden the heart. Chatting and gossiping constantly, backbiting, commenting on everything, whether you're informed or uninformed, this is also something that hardens the heart. And too much social media, too much qil wa qal, he said and she said, this is unnecessary. So what are the cures? I close with these final points, inshallah ta'ala. The cure that we need is number one, dua. Allah ta'ala tells us what? Ujibu da'wat al-da'i idha da'an. I respond to the one who calls upon me when he calls upon me. So first and foremost, let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, make us of those who have soft hearts. Oh Allah, protect us from being harsh-hearted. Oh Allah, keep us of those who do not develop this disease of the heart of qaswat al-qulub. The second point is what? Read the Qur'an. Allah ta'ala tells us, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله سبحان الله. Allah Ta'ala tells us what? If we had sent down this Quran upon a mountain, which is a huge rock, obviously, this is a huge rock. So even the biggest, most harshest of rocks, what would happen? This Quran can soften it, can break it, can finally get through to it. And that's exactly the problem with a rock, is that nothing can penetrate it and it's very difficult to move, but yet the Quran can do it. The Quran can move this rock. And the Qur'an can get inside this rock. Just in the same way that, subhanAllah, you're trying to get some word into this person's mind. You're trying to move this individual and shake them up and give them some sort of an effect. Alhamdulillah, this Qur'an can do it. And of course, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us what? أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That Allah says what? Unquestionably, it's by the remembrance of Allah that hearts find rest. So just as we began and talked about قَصْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ comes from what? A lack of dhikrullah, in the same way I close. That subhanAllah, it all comes back to what? The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to improve yourself and transform this quality, start first and foremost by remembering Allah. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep Allah ta'ala's dhikr on your tongue. Keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah, and may Allah ta'ala make us of those whose hearts are never harsh, but rather are soft and embracing of the truth. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la ya'izzu man adayt, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt, rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam taslima katheera, wa aqim as-salah.